is wrapping up today. The final games actually just getting started right now at 10 o'clock. And we did have some local teams that made it both to the quarterfinals, to the semifinals, and had some great runs. But there will not be any Northern Michigan teams playing today in the finals. There will be a couple of UP teams, including the team that beat Grayling this past Tuesday night. And that is Menominee, as the Maroons went on after beating Grayling. They beat Ecorse 74-56, and an incredible, incredible run by that team. And they will play at 4:30 today against a 24-2 Schoolcraft team. So we will be having some coaches on with us as well. We're going to have head coach of the Grayling Vikings, L.J. Mead, with us. Pat Schultz, the Gaylord St. Mary's girls coach, had a great season. Their run ended, but also the Cadillac boys coach, Ryan Benzenberg, will be joining us here today on our final show, again, wrapping everything up. So, anyway, getting back to that game this past week with Grayling and Menominee, Menominee ended up winning 70-39, and we'll talk about some of the details with head coach L.J. Mead here in just a moment as we're getting him on the line. Hello, Coach L.J. Mead, joining us live here in studio on the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. L.J., Rich and Jerry in studio with you this morning. Coach, I know that final game against Menominee didn't go the way that you were hoping for, but man, when you've had a few days to kind of look back, really an incredible historic run for this Grayling team.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very, very proud of our guys. And I know in the moment and after that moment following that game that it was pretty tough, especially with a big group of seniors. And but they have nothing to hold their heads about. They accomplished a lot of great things this season and sent our program in the right direction. So very proud of them.
Yeah, no doubt, Coach. You know, let's talk a little bit about the details of that game. Well, you know, they jump out to a 10-2 lead right away. You guys come back, answer it with your own 10-2 run, and it's all tied up then. All of a sudden, 12-12 at the end of one. You guys got to be pretty happy with, obviously, how that turned out.
Yeah, we knew, they posed some major problems for us and that they're a good team. That being said, I think we're heading down this afternoon to watch them in the state finals. But we got into that first quarter, and you know, as soon as that quick run was through, and the speed of everything and the excitement and the kids kind of settled in, we knocked down a couple shots and looked like we were in pretty good position. And then all of a sudden, you know, the second quarter came and we really didn't have any answers for them.
Yeah, Coach, it really looked like they ratcheted up that pressure defense, and not necessarily full court, kind of token full court, but, man, they sure did start trapping once you got over the timeline. And, boy, it looked like a whole lot of chaos going on out there.
Yeah, we were ready for the run and jump, that style. The hard thing is, it's not a signal or a call that it comes from, you know, and it's got to be the kids reading. And, most often is when our point guard turned their back that it came. And, you know, we had a flash break for it, and, a couple things didn't happen. And the kids had to recognize the trap was coming, one, and then two, the people that were supposed to flash to the middle and up the sideline didn't always recognize it right away, and it was too late. And their length, their speed, their athleticism gave us some problems. And obviously it's a heck of a team, and they find themselves in the state finals game after getting out on, to a big 18-point halftime lead, down at the Breslin in the semifinals. So, We're not the only one that struggled with their pressure, that's for sure.
Yeah, Coach, kudos to you for heading down there and seeing the game. I really give you a lot of credit for that. Obviously, sometimes, you know, the team just doesn't have answers for what another team can do. The best thing that you can do in basketball is impose your will and play the style of basketball that you want to play. And it seems like Menominee's been able to do that throughout the whole season. Before your game, we talked to Josh Proctor from Benzie Central, who lost to them in double overtime, and discussed the way they play basketball. Rich and I thought that there might be a couple of issues that your team was going to face, because you really hadn't faced that kind of pressure before, for the most part, had you?
Well, within the tournament, probably not. You know, Traverse City St. Francis runs the same style. So in the league, we definitely did see it. Elk Rapids, the same thing or similar. Differences, Elk Rapids probably didn't have the length that these guys did. And maybe the overall athleticism that they did. You know, you go back to the, you know, the comment about impose your will. We felt like, you know, we had an opportunity as well to do that. And then on our end, and with the style of defense we play, and, you know, really after that 10-2 run, we were able to do that. And how we got back in the game that first quarter was them turning the ball over. And but as we sat in it and we got kind of stuck trying to rotate between a couple defenses, you know, they're two big post players down low. We really didn't have an answer. And an unselfish basketball team. They really play together and they move the ball really well.
Yeah, they certainly do, Coach. And, Coach, I know you're like this. I'm like this as an announcer at the end of the game. I'll replay the game in my head, and how could I better have described the game, how I could have called the game, done better, all that stuff. Coach, is there anything, obviously, you'll probably do the same thing as the coaching staff, you and Coach Geharik. You guys will get together and look at things. Where do we improve as a coaching staff? Where do we do some things like that? Again, certainly not taking away anything that this Grayling team accomplished, but obviously there's always areas that we all need to improve upon and even get better at.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, moving forward as a program, there's you know, we've already looked at, we're not going to have the size that we had this year, and we're not going to have, you know, we had a three-headed monster really as a post player. Sometimes four kids that we were able to rotate through, and we're not going to have that size next year. So we're already looking at what we do there, or how do we tweak things with still doing the same, you know, the stuff that we've been teaching the kids. So we started talking about that, and, you know, you said right after the game, and one thing we struggled with obviously was their pressure and just having a guy. And you know, at one point, I'm like, oh, man, I really wish that we would have just popped a guy in the center of that and basically ran a dice formation, a 2-1-2, and instead of relying on him to flash, and probably would have relayed, you know, taken a little bit of pressure off the point guard or the guy up top with the ball. And, you know, it's something that we talked about in the game. But we had done so well executing our game plan in the previous couple practices, you know, and the one thing we couldn't simulate was their length. And so I watched the semifinal game that they played in, and sure enough, that's what the other team did, was, you know, ran basically a dice formation against it. And I was like, you know, so
that's,
yeah,
it's going to be a problem.
And coach, you try to make adjustments, and there's definitely things that our program has to do to get better. And we've already been talking about it, and you know, looking at the future. But a lot of stuff to be done. As we talked about, Rich, summer ball starts up in just a couple of months, and you know, a banquet for the kids in closure to this season. So the work does not stop.
Well, Coach, I would highly suggest that you watch St. Peter's play basketball if you're not going to have a lot of size, because that team knows what the hell they're doing.
what a fun run for them, man. I watched that game last night, and holy cow. That's what's so exciting about basketball, and specifically March Madness, is on any given night, a team can take down a team that's not supposed to have a chance, and, case in point with that team.
Yep. I just want to mention that you're headed down to see the Menominee Schoolcraft game, which will be on our radio station here at 4:30. So if you want to save the trip, Coach, you can just turn around, come back, and listen to us here on 101.1. But we want to thank you so much for sharing with us just about every week the journey that this Grayling Vikings boys basketball team made, because it was 65 years in the making.
Yeah. And
yeah, absolutely, guys. And appreciate on the flip side, we appreciate everything you've done to help promote our kids, or just, be able to talk about the great things that they have been doing along the way. And so appreciate the partnership, and in the future, we'll always be here.
Yeah.
Oh, very quickly. So you've got a couple kids that are moving on that will play in college next year, correct?
Yes. Dylan Craig is going to be going to Alma, in which case he is going to dual sports, so play football and basketball.
Good
and
for
then,
him.
Caleb Call is going to play at Kalamazoo College. So
good school.
Those kids that really love the game, and Dylan's got a great challenge ahead of him in terms of dual sporting and time commitment at the next level. And Caleb really liked what he saw when he was there at Kalamazoo on his visit, and came back, and I kind of knew right away that that's where he was going to decide to go. So excited for those kids, and I'm sure at some point those two will face off against each other, and hopefully it works out for us to take the team down and go watch them.
Yeah. Now, my son's at Kate College. It's a great experience. So Caleb's going to have a very different type of experience than he's had at Grayling, that's for sure.
Awesome.
All right, LJ, thanks for joining. The senior class also do, as a little side note, the success that this senior class has experienced both in football and basketball, to make it to a semifinals in football, to make it to a quarterfinals in basketball, just really an incredible dual sports success by those seniors. So congratulations to those guys, LJ.
Absolutely. They're going to be missed for sure.
Yep.
Safe travels, Coach. Enjoy the game, and I'm sure we'll have you back on when we resume this program late in the fall.
Yep.
Sounds great, guys. Take care.
All right. Thanks, LJ. LJ Mead of the Grayling Vikings there. Yeah, just, JC, again, so cool that, of course, our radio station has been covering the Grayling Vikings since you guys took over, and these are the kind of runs in a public school that you just dream of, and you enjoy every moment of it.
Yeah, it's a bitter pill to swallow. We were talking about it yesterday, Rich, before we went on the air, whether you lose at the buzzer or, get down the road with 5 minutes left to go in the game, that this is probably a little easier to lose knowing that you're going to lose.
Yes, exactly.
To have your heart ripped out at the end of a game is something that, is an itch that really never recover from.
No, exactly, because you just, again, we've talked about so many times, you replay in your mind, usually in slow motion, everything that you could have done, or a teammate, or if it just a ball hanging on a rim, and it
45 years later, I still replay so many things about the game, that the state championship game that we were in.
Yeah,
and I know the Michigan players are going to be thinking about all the shots that they missed inside, and
yes,
same thing with UCLA last night. So Yeah, it's tough. Basketball is a tough mistress.
It is.
Because only, you know, how many teams jumped into the state championship pool?
Yeah.
And ultimately, there's only four winners.
There's only four. Yeah. One in each division. And, yeah, and they weed out quickly. And very similar to the NC2A. You know what I mean? You got to be ready to play.
You don't have everybody in the tournament. Well, I guess you do if you want to count the conference tournaments before you get into it.
And then they just and they go. You got to be sometimes play the next day or 2 days later, and then all of a sudden, sometimes you put the brakes on and you don't play for 5 or 6 days. It's a very similar schedule wise to the NC2A.
There's nothing quite like it, and that's why they call it the madness. So
they do.
Again, thanks to LJ Mead. We're going to have a couple more coaches on here to talk about their seasons, all making significant runs into the playoffs. So we'll be back with Coach Ryan Benzenberg from the Cadillac Vikings, who had a similar run to the Grayling Vikings here. When we return on the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show on Up North Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins, Jerry Coyne in studio with you, and joining us right now is the head coach of another Viking team, the Cadillac Vikings, Ryan Benzenberg. And, Coach, you guys really had a great run, made it all the way to the quarterfinals before you eventually end up getting beat by a red-hot Freeland team.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me on. Really appreciate the opportunity. Just really proud of our kids. I thought we battled getting by a tough Ludington team that's kind of been the monkey on our back in the districts, and then a couple of really tough regional teams. And Freeland was a better team that night. They had some really nice players that could get it done both inside and outside, and we just weren't able to keep them out of the paint in the second half. I really thought going into that game, keeping them off the three-point line was going to be a key. And we did that. We held them to 5 threes for the game, none in the second half. But our defensive pressure led us to giving up some backdoor layups and stuff, and we just didn't have enough.
Yeah, Coach, I know, you know, you guys that kind of all season were dealing with some different injuries, different things like that throughout. And how were your kids pretty healthy going into that quarterfinal game?
Cole Genimo is about 75%. One of the big drawbacks was Charlie Howell, my 6'5 sophomore, who was kind of charged with guarding the other team's best player. He was fighting the head flu that actually went around our team. I had it the week before, and he was not himself at all. I think he only had 4 points and just didn't have any energy.
Yikes.
Couldn't get oxygen into his lungs, but give him credit. He toughed it out and played as well as he could for as long as he could in that game. And Freeland was just a better team that night.
Yeah, Coach, that's it's always tough to swallow when you can't field a team that's at their very best. And another little item that you have to deal with in this tournament. Rich and I were just talking about it off air. You get a few days off, and then you got to play back-to-back games or with a day in between. So it really makes it difficult if you've got a team that's not 100%.
Yeah, it does. And at that point in the year, no team is 100% healthy. You know, in Freeland, they had one of their starters out, the Cameron LeBron kid, that ended up not playing in the quarterfinal game, which was a big thing for them. He's their best standstill shooter. So that's not an excuse. Freeland was better that night in congratulations to them. They got us. They definitely had us in chasing ourselves defensively in the second half there, and we just weren't able to get enough. But I want to just credit our guys and our community, the support that they shared, that they showed, not only Tuesday but leading up to Tuesday's game. The community was awesome. It was so nice to be in a packed gym versus the COVID gym where there's not a lot of people there, and finally some normalcy. And I wish we would have got it done, but all along we kind of told ourselves we wanted to play. We wanted our last game to end against a team that was better than us. And, you know, I'd like another crack at them, obviously, but that night they were better than us. And nothing to shake our head at. We had 19 wins, regional championship, and we our three seniors that graduate definitely left a lasting mark on our program.
That's well said, Coach. And then Freeland turned around and got handled pretty well by a Williamston team. Do you know much about them, or did you go to that game by any chance?
I did not go to the game. However, we were scouted up on both Williamston and Edison just in case we were to get through Freeland on Tuesday. And look, I'm a high school junkie. Williamson's a darn good basketball team. They have three Division I basketball players that start for them.
Wow!
And they would have given us all we wanted as well. And I figured whoever won our game was going to have their work cut out for them against Williamson. With, you know, they have the 6'10" Max Burton kid who's going to Western.
Wow!
Mason Dox, the point guard, is going to Baltimore, University of Maryland, Baltimore County. So I mean, they're formidable. I still think they'll struggle to get by Grand Rapids Catholic today in the final.
Right.
However, in my estimation, they're the two best teams in Division II.
Yeah, that looks like a monster matchup. The GRCC team, always great in football and basketball. That is a minor sports factory there.
Yeah, no question.
That no doubt about it. Coach Merriman does a great job there. And, like, throw the divisions out. You know, I wouldn't bet against them to win the whole thing, regardless of what size school they are or what division they're in. I think their only loss this year was to Beecher, and they played a really tough schedule as well. So I know both of those teams, Williamson and Grand Rapids Catholic, are two of the best in the entire state, regardless of class.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You're talking about a Grand Rapids Catholic Central team that's got one loss, 25-1, versus the Williamson team you just spoke about, who is undefeated. And that's the other game, Rich, that's going to be on our radio station today.
Oh, nice. And that's the last game of the night, too, to close out the 2022 MHSAA championship for boys basketball. So a great way to close out the year.
There's no doubt about that. I think those are two of the marquee teams in the state. And, you know, I told our guys after the game, let's not cry because we lost the basketball game. Let's cry because the season's over. And only four teams end their season with a win in the state. And regardless if you lose the first game of districts or in a quarterfinal game, ultimately, unless you're one of those four, it's going to end with a loss. And there's nothing to shake to hang our heads about. We had a very successful season, and obviously we would have liked to play better and win, but we'll live with the results of our season because of all the hard work our kids put in.
Coach, you've got a couple kids that are going to go on and play in college. Is that right?
Yeah, for sure. Cole Genema's our 6'9 senior. He's still up in the air where he wants to go play. There's some schools that are interested. He just got to make his mind up on where he wants to go play at. I think it's probably down between Aquinas, Spring Arbor, Elma. Maybe Grand Valley's kind of talking to us a little bit late. But wherever he goes, they're going to get a quality player who is uniquely skilled. Definitely one of the most skilled kids I've ever coached, particularly with the size that he brings. And got a couple other kids that are the underclassmen that really have desires to play. My point guard, Jaden Bontag, lives and breathes the game, and he really wants to play at the next level. And I think his skill set and his work ethic will let him do that. And then I got a couple of younger kids, Charlie Howell, 6'5", sophomore. Yeah. Who did turn some heads this year. He's also a really good baseball player and a football player, so not really sure what his future holds. And then I got a couple of young kids, Eli Main and Gavin Gates, both were freshmen who played major minutes for us, that I think, you know, in the next 4 years, who knows what will happen, but I think if they continue on the trend that they're on, we'll potentially have an opportunity to do that if they so choose.
Well, sounds like the future looks pretty bright for the Cadillac Vikings, Coach. That's always nice to think. Instead of, you know, every once in a while, everybody, the whole cupboard is bare, and you're like, whoa.
Starting over.
Yeah, I, you know, a lot of that is credit to the parents and the kids in our community. They have a hunger for success, and our young kids that experienced that loss Tuesday will use that to drive them through their off season. And I have no doubt that they'll put the work in. And once you get to the tournament, after you get past the district, every team you play is really, really good. So you need to have some things bounce your way. This year we were able to do that. But I like our chances just because of the kids that we have in our program that work really hard, are good in the classroom, and will do whatever it takes to continue to get better.
Right. Yeah, Coach, I was able to watch you a couple of times this year. In the first game I saw, you guys were without Cole Genema, but certainly Charlie Howell, your 6'5 sophomore, that first quarter, he was just a shot-blocking rascal. I mean, he was out there. He probably blocked five shots in the very first quarter. I mean, that kid was very impressive.
Yeah, he had a couple of really tough assignments for us this year, not only guarding John O'Connor from TC West that night. He guarded Peyton Lacombe from Ludington, Drew Berry from Midland, Colin Hudson from Escanaba. So we put him in Bryson Huckabee in our last game of the year. Being under the weather, Bryson got a little bit loose for that for Freeland, but we always tasked him with guarding the other team's best player, and he worked really, really hard, and he's a smart kid. He's got a great family at home, so I'm really, really excited about having him for the next couple of years, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And, Coach, I was able to see Cole Gentleman the second game and very impressed with his game. 6'9", perimeter player that can handle the ball like he can shoot the ball. That's that just doesn't grow on trees here in northern Michigan.
No, and he got his guard skills from when he was younger before he hit his growth spurt, so he always played outside. And as he continued to grow, he continued to develop those perimeter skills. And I'm not saying he's the best shooter in northern Michigan, but he's one of the best standstill shooters in northern Michigan. And I think some of the accolades that he received, he was voted Cole Big North Player of the Year, first team all-conference, just one of the premier players in northern Michigan. And I was very fortunate to be able to call him a Cadillac Viking for the last 4 years, and we're sorely going to miss him. But excited to follow him wherever his talents take him next year.
Yeah, we'll be keeping an eye on Cole, and good luck to him, and good luck to you guys. Coach, we'll circle back around with you as the season gets going in the late fall-winter season for the Cadillac Vikings.
Guys, I really appreciate you having me on and following us this year, not only Cadillac, but all the schools that you support in northern Michigan. It's really cool to see all the notoriety and the publicity our kids get because of folks like you, so thank you for that.
Thank you, Coach. Best of luck and safe travels.
Thanks, guys. You have a great spring break. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you. Again, Ryan Benzenberg of the Cadillac.
All the coaches are traveling. I got to be close to that.
It is. Hey, whether it's that spring break or heading to the Breslin to watch some more basketball, I mean, it's obvious that these coaches are just what you want. They're basketball junkies, as Coach Benzenberg said. That's important. That's what you want, someone at the helm that just lives, eats, and breathes basketball.
Yeah, we talking about the games that are going to be on the radio, Rich, we'd love to have the game one, which starts, actually, game one is going on right
now. It is. It started,
starts at 10 o'clock, which is you and Trout Creek versus Wyoming Tri-Unity Christian.
Yes.
The Division IV state championship game. And then Division I is next at 12:15, which is Warren De La Salle and Grand Blanc. Like we've been talking all year long, De La Salle is only 19-7, Rich, but they ran the gauntlet of that Catholic League all year long, and then ended up beating the presumptive state champion in the quarterfinals, which was Orchard Lake St. Mary's.
Yes, and I have an update on that game taking place right now, JC. It's tied up at 17 apiece with Ewing Trout Creek and Wyoming Tri-Unity Christian early in the second quarter.
Yeah, you know, as both the coaches indicated, when you get to this level, when you're in the state finals, it's very rare that you see blowouts.
Yes.
The teams that get there have earned it. You heard how tough these quarterfinal games are. Getting out of the regionals is no joke.
No.
And then the quarters and the semis, and now you're in the state finals. I saw a real interesting quick interview with the coach from North Carolina, and they asked him about, are you surprised that St. Peter's here? And he says, no. They've obviously played fantastic basketball, and this is going to be the hardest game we play all year. The game, you know.
Exactly. And Jerry, how many years have we been talking about basketball now with all of the AAU being played, the travel leagues, all that stuff, that there's so many good players now that they all don't go to the big-name Division I schools. They, for some reason, may want to stick around home and be near New Jersey there where, you know, St. Peter's is and all of that, or whatever. But almost every team has quality players.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, it's basketball is serious business now.
Yes.
You know, it might not be, you know, Rich, you've seen tons of parents of athletes that think their kids are way better than always.
Yes.
You know, it just you always want your best for your son. I was never disillusioned about Joe. He was right. He was never going to be a professional right. athlete or anything else like that.
Right.
I just thought the structure was good for him. But in basketball, especially with AAU, and they do it in soccer and everything else, but
right.
basketball weeds out the talent pretty damn fast. You know, you yeah. don't end up at a D1 school unless you are a really good basketball player.
Exactly.
And, you know, Kenny Smith said something really interesting last night that can pertain to the athletes that we're talking about here in high school. And the kids that he's a New York kid.
Right? Yes.
And the kids that he grew up playing with in high school and everything else, he said, these kids were, and he named some guys that you never heard of before, you know, they taught me how to play. They challenged me every day. I just got lucky and got to be 6'2" and a half, and that these guys stayed at 5'10", 5'11". So they ended up playing D2 or D3 basketball. But that's the St. Peter's kids. You know, yeah. they just didn't get the full size that you that would have moved them over to you know, a Rutgers
yes.
or somebody else, and talent will always rise to the top.
It will, exactly. And then how many playground games have you seen in metro areas? You see where these kids, some of these people playing in playground games, never played collegiately or yeah. whatever for whatever reasons.
Right.
And but
education wasn't important to them
right,
at all. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Or other things happen, and you look at you're like, oh my gosh, that is a talented individual.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
yeah.
It's
I
wild.
Mean, we've talked to, on and on and on about. St. Cecilia in Detroit, or you know the Rucker League in New York. There's hotbeds in Chicago and everywhere else where you next four guys, five yep. kids come onto the court, and you're like, holy Christ! Look at these guys. It just never ends.
Right.
And kudos to L.J. Mead for recognizing that Menominee is a really talented basketball team, and like we said, they're going to be taking on Schoolcraft for the state finals, and there'll be some issue of satisfaction if Menominee ends up winning the states,
yes.
Rich, and you can go, wow, you know, we had a great run and we lost to the state champion.
Yeah, absolutely. You always do that.
Not
for
really.
Sure. Maybe just for a moment.
You lose to the state champion in the final game, then
oh, right.
Never goes
well, that's
away.
Different. Yeah, that's totally different. But right, getting beat in the quarterfinal game, then there's some measure of yeah. feeling good for that team. Again, they beat a very good E-course team.
Yeah.
You know, in the semis.
On paper, I'm, you know, a major surprise.
Yes, no question.
You know, E-course, an amazingly rich history. They may have won more state championships in basketball than any other school in the state of Michigan. I'm pretty
wow.
sure that's the case.
Wow.
You know, they had a coach called Lofton Green who won
legendary.
12 state championships in a 15-year period. That's wouldn't ask.
That is amazing.
Yeah. And most of those kids, you know, didn't play major college basketball. So, yeah, it's I love the state of Michigan and the competitiveness of the kids, and that's why we're going to be playing those games later on this afternoon. The only reason why we're not playing the De La Salle game is because at 12:15 the Red Wings are taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning. So unfortunately, we have commitments.
Yep.
There.
So and then after that, like you said, at 4:30 will be the Menominee Schoolcraft game.
Yeah, and then the final, the Grand Rapids Catholic Central Williamston thing. That's going to be a phenomenal.
Sounds
game.
Like yeah, getting yeah. a good scouting report from Coach Benzenberg there. That's going to be a great closing act.
Yeah. When we return here on the Bill Morse High School Scoreboard Show, we'll have Coach Pat Schultz on from the St. Mary's Lady Snowbirds, who had another great run, a great traditional basketball program, and we'll check in with Coach Schultz from Costa Rica when we return here on Up North Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North
Your
Sports
call has
Radio.
Been forwarded to an automated.
We are trying to get a hold of head coach Pat Schultz of the Gaylord St. Mary's Snowbirds Ladies Program. That's a team that made it all the way to the quarterfinals and end up getting beat by the eventual state champ Fowler. Of course, Coach Schultz, as JC had mentioned earlier, is in Costa Rica right now, so we're trying to contact him. He was willing to come on the show.
Yeah, the texting went okay, but I don't know if we're going to get a...
right.
I've been actually talking to my son in Madrid, and those phone calls have been pretty good. So,
yeah. Right.
But you never know international phone calls.
You do not,
yeah,
that's for sure.
I know this isn't the greatest radio ever, but maybe it's just not going to happen.
Right. It could possibly be. Again, like I mentioned, St. Mary's made it to the quarterfinals. It got beat by Fowler 58-26. And again, Fowler went on to beat Berrigan in the semifinals 51-45 and won a state championship a week ago over Plymouth Christian 61-46.
Wow. So that is obviously a very strong Fowler team. Beat St. Mary's by 20.
Right.
So kudos to them. As we were saying in the last segment, Rich, there's a little bit of salve that washes over you when you when your season comes to an end, and then the team that beat you is the state champion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you will couch it when you're my age.
Yeah. No, it's so true. And Coach Schultz had shared with us in the interviews we had had with him prior is that, you know, his team was reliant on outside shooting. They shot the three ball like it was going out of style. So because they just didn't have the height.
Right.
To work the ball down low a lot. If they could get some scores, some buckets off the dribble with their guards, great. But they purely relied a lot on outside shooting. And when you're one-dimensional like that.
Well, then an offensive rebound, you're going to see that. You know, I saw the St. Mary's Gals play a couple times. And when you shoot the ball from three, you get those long rebounds.
You do.
So when you're used to that, you end up getting a lot of offensive rebounds, which is what Houston does. When you see the University of Houston play today against Villanova, that's the thing that for me is going to be the thing to observe most in that game is because Houston gets like 20 offensive rebounds a game. I mean, it's insane.
Those extra possessions help mightily.
They erase, you know, you're like, oh, their shooting percentage is horrible. But when you take 20, I mean, Michigan outshot Villanova anyways. So, you know, there's a reason why Villanova is a 2.5-point underdog today in that game. And that's why, because Houston hit, they're not a really good defensive rebounding team, but they really get a lot of offensive rebounds.
Try to get you back. Not sure if it went through. I haven't seen that call. So. Yeah, it did, but we didn't ring it. Let me see.
Right.
Go ahead.
Try. Okay. But no, you're absolutely right. And rebounding, traditional rebounding, and rebounding long rebounds from long outside shots is, you know, it's a little bit different than just big guys down low and, you know, quickness to the ball. Because, again, reading the ball, the old Dennis Rodman trick of being able to read the ball coming off the rim, doing things like that just really are so important when you're rebounding.
Yeah. The St. Peter's team is getting out-rebounded quite a bit, but they're turning people over, and they don't turn the ball over themselves. So there's a lot of different ways. You know, we've been talking about Michigan State basketball for a long time, that they are a little loose with the ball and usually lose the turnover battle, but they usually win the rebounding battle so tough that all that stuff balances out, you know.
Right.
Keith Gave and I have had this conversation, Keith being a hockey fanatic, me being a basketball fanatic, but the one of the things they have in common is the fact that possessing the ball or possessing the puck is the sweet sauce to winning.
Oh, it is, yeah. And it's like that old joke, possession is 9/10 of the law. You know what I mean? When you have the ball, the other team doesn't, or the puck in this case, you know what I mean? You usually, if you have the ball, if you can take care of it, not turn it over, good things can happen.
Yeah, and so when you live and die by the three, occasionally you scoop up a lot of those long rebounds. So you know the addition of the 3-point line in basketball was such a game changer. that
no doubt about it.
You know, if you're younger now and you're like, what are you talking about?
Well, back in the day, there was no three-point line.
No three-point. Or Pete Maravich would have been the leading scorer in the history of college basketball, trust me, folks, by a wide margin. So who's Pete Maravich?
Yeah, trust me. Yep. Look at Pistol Pete on some YouTube videos and some things like that. The ball handling, the shooting, an amazing, amazing individual.
My favorite thing that I've ever seen in basketball, when I was a kid growing up, they used to have on ABC, because that was the network that broadcast the one NBA game a week.
Yes.
When we only had three channels. But Red Auerbach used to have this thing called Red on Round Ball.
Yes, he did, yes.
And the segment that he had Pete Maravich do ball handling drills on is still, you know, like makes Curly Neal look like me with the basketball. And Red Auerbach sitting there with a cigar.
Cigar in his mouth. I remember that too, and I'm
Hold
like,
on a second here.
Okay.
Coach, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, brilliant.
Excellent.
Como esta?
Yeah, well, I'm still habla inglés.
Well, that's good, because that's all I know. I don't know. El basketballo. I don't know. But
I'm glad you weren't going to go any further with it, because I don't know what you're going to be saying.
Coach Pat Schultz is joining us, Coach, and since we were gabbing away without a guest on, there's got to be a modicum of a good feeling that your Lady Snowbirds lost to the state champion, the eventual state champion.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, I don't like any loss, and we're going to do everything we can do, you know, in this next 11 months to kind of give us a better chance to be competitive against that level of team. But, I mean, if you look at our last 4 years, we've lost to the state champ or the runner-up. So, I know there's no moral victories for me. I don't look at it that way. But, you know, we have competed, you know, for the most part in postseason pretty strongly. I mean, we don't always play perfectly, and that's kind of never been our MO, is just to kind of play a flawless game. That's the only way we can win it. That's not us.
Right.
But, We've done some good things with the girls program, and the coaches before me did the same thing. I think we're still taking it in the right direction.
Right. Oh, no doubt about it, Coach. You're keeping that program rolling along. Again, Gaylord St. Mary's, a long tradition of having excellent sporting teams, and that girls basketball team is right at the top with them. And going back a couple of weeks, Coach, to that Fowler game, which Fowler won 58-26, you had mentioned to us in a prior interview, you guys really rely on the three ball. And looks like, obviously, maybe that night the shots weren't falling for you.
Yeah, when you contacted me this morning, whatever time it was here, 4:30, 5:30, whatever it was, I was actually going over. No, that's fine. I was up. I'd been up for an hour. I was actually going over season stats. I've been doing that since we've been down here trying to get a game plan for next year. And I was actually going over, looking over everything that you and I were probably going to talk about. I tried to send it out to you, but it didn't get through. That Fowler game, we were 4-35. So, I mean, we shot the number of threes that we wanted to shoot. That's our average, more or less. But only knocking down four isn't great. I think we've had, as I'm looking, like, got stuff this morning, I think we were maybe 16 or 17 games that we were, 15, 16 games that we were in double digits, 10-plus. For made threes. And that's a pretty huge part of our game. And we only knocked down four, you know, and we had looks. I mean, their defense was great. That switching man to man up top really gave us problems, gave our guards some problems. But at the end of the day, you still got off 35 threes. We should have a few more than that. And that wouldn't have, you know, ultimately, if you just say, well, if you only get a couple more threes, that still doesn't change it. But, you know, it changes with us. We're a momentum team. I mean, our defense and offense kind of, this whole year been predicated on, you knock down the first couple shots and we are usually good to go. And if you don't, and it's a battle, well, we didn't knock down, you know, for the most part, the first couple shots, and we had to battle. And that's not a team. I mean, they're just
a girl going to play at Ferris, and I think her sister's going to play there next year. I mean, with a team like that, you are not going to dig yourself out of the hole. They just have a lot of good basketball players in that team. I mean, for the most part, they have two really good basketball players, and the rest of them do exactly what they're supposed to do as a supporting cast. You know, and we just didn't get it rolling offensively, and we have to for us to be competitive. But that's not a team that you can hope to pull things out with in the third and fourth quarter. They're just too disciplined. Their guard play was strong. Even though, you know, that as I look at stats, I mean, we turned them over 22 times. Or not,
wow.
We turned them over 25 times.
That's good.
Yeah.
So that is, but if you look at those turnovers, we didn't convert those into points, which is what we usually have to do.
Yeah.
That's just something else we look at. We didn't turn many of those into points, and you have to do that. So we did about half of the things that we needed to do to be successful, and then against a team like that with that kind of pedigree and those kind of players, you need to do everything you need to do to have a positive outcome. But that being said, it's a loss, but it's absolutely a lesson. We learned that we need to be a lot more dynamic in the half court. We need to attack the rim better. We need to get stronger with the basketball. I mean, it showed when you play good teams, they show you exactly what you need to work on, and they showed us exactly what we needed to work on. So.
No, that's a good point, Coach Pat Schultz from the Gaylord St. Mary's ladies basketball program. So, Coach, in the next couple of minutes, I want you to get back to that, you know, relaxing vacation that you described. talk about the team, the gals that are moving on, and what the outlook is for your plan right now on the beach, moving shells around and your players that are going to play next year.
Well, you know, I guess fortunately and unfortunately, you know, fortunately for us, we're only moving on one person, but unfortunately that girl is Bailey Morrell, who has been a great player for us. She's played, I think, this 2.5 complete seasons on varsity. She came up and really made her defense a lot more dynamic. Could get to the rim with Macy, you know, against almost every team we played, she was, you know, one of our better girls, if not the best girl, being able to get to the rim and get to the free throw line. So she was almost at a double-double for averages. I mean, she was a little over 10 points. We had four girls 10-plus, and she was one of them. But her rebounds were 7 rebounds a game, so you're almost getting a double-double out of the kid. So to say that it's going to be hard to replace that would absolutely be true. I mean, you're looking at just those numbers are going to be hard to replace, but then you look at what she did for us on the defensive end. You know, she could guard a 5 and she could guard a 1. So, you know, we don't have that kind of kid in our program, you know, all the time, hardly ever. So that's going to be hard. We're going to have to take a couple kids next year to hopefully, you know, create the production that we're losing with her and to, you know, offset what we're losing on defense for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that means you have another 4 starters that are coming back next year, so that's probably going to bode well. And knowing the kids at St. Mary's, there's an 8th grader or a freshman that's going to step into the program and really shine.
I hope so. I mean, we had a couple 8th graders that were able to play a bunch with us last summer. We're going to grab a couple more this summer to play with us, and some of those will be 9th graders, but we'll probably have an 8th grader or 2 play with us this summer as well. For a school our size, as you know, you have to start getting those younger kids just kind of accustomed to what it's like to play up in high school. And,
right.
You know, that's, a lot of people might think that's not a positive. Oh, you have to have 8th graders on JV and sometimes varsity. I think it's an absolute plus, because if you look at those kids when they become juniors and seniors, they've already had, you know, 2-3 years of varsity experience. And like for Kaylee this year, our lone 8th grader that played every game, she had legitimate quarterfinal experience to produce for us in the quarterfinals. So by the time she's a junior and a senior, these kind of moments aren't going to be, you know, as big as they probably seem this year for our whole team.
Yeah.
And next year's kids, the younger kids that are going to be coming up and playing, same deal. They'll come up and get a taste and a feel for what it's like to be on varsity and playing some big games. And hopefully by the time they're upperclassmen, you know, those things will be kind of second nature. And maybe hopefully this program can take the next step.
Yeah, Coach. When you bring those young kids up to that like that early, then the shock, the speed of the game isn't so overwhelming to them if they've been sitting at a JV level for a year or two. They're used to it. That's all they're used to for the past couple of years when you're really counting on them for some quality playing time.
That's absolutely correct. If we had to bring them up and didn't have a strong varsity where they would be moved on to really, really produce and do a whole lot of things, that's all too much pressure to place on eighth graders. But to have these girls come up the way we do on the teams that are kind of established and rolling, where they know that they're not going to have to be that go-to kid and they can just, you know, kind of gently ease themselves into it, I think it's fantastic. I mean, this year was absolutely best case scenario for a girl like Kaylee Jeffers to come up and play with a group that had, you know, a little bit of varsity experience, but was pretty secure in what they were doing and how to do it. And for her to come up and be able to play in that kind of situation was the best case scenario. And I think next year for those girls, those eighth graders or ninth graders, whoever comes up, it's going to be the same situation. They're going to be coming up into a group of kids that don't need them to dominate the ball and don't need them to be the best player on either side of the ball. Just need them to contribute. That's the easiest way to get them to slide into stuff, you know.
Well, and that Jeffers gal has got a couple of sisters that know how to play ball too that she's watched. So, Coach Pat Schultz, thanks for interrupting your vacation and joining us here on our last program for the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show. We will be back with you in the late fall, early winter when we get started again.
I really hope so. I appreciate everything you guys do in covering these teams up here. I know my girls get a kick out of hearing these things, and they love listening to it. So thank you guys for everything you do.
Thank you, Coach.
Coach, appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too. Coach Pat Schultz going above the call of duty there by joining us from Costa Rica.
Coach, take a minute, man.
I love it. Oh, you got a hold of him at 4 a.m. and go, oh, I've been up for an hour going over stats.
Yeah, reading stats. Oh, my God.
His season ended 2 weeks ago, and Coach is still. And he gave us a new visual of, like, what the Shell defense is all about on the beach at Costa Rica. So
we'll be back after these words from our fine partners on the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show on Up North Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins, Jerry Coyne with you, and just with you for the last couple more minutes here, and our last show of the year. We'll get things started back up during football season in August, probably late August. So, Jerry, I appreciate you giving us an opportunity to talk about high school sports here on each and every Saturday for the past 7-plus months.
Yeah, it's, you know, we think it's important.
It is.
You know,
it is.
We get the opportunity to see so many young men and women in Northern Michigan working their butts off. It is nothing to do with recognition. A commitment to their team, a commitment to their community. Same thing with the coaches, like we heard with every single coach today, is so involved.
Yes.
And, you know, athletics is more than wins and losses, as you know, Rich. And to hear Coach Schultz say the girls are listening, and I've heard that from a lot of other coaches. Can we get the podcast? All this other stuff. So I remember when I was a kid, we had a number of different newspapers, you know, that covered our teams. And so, and you'd see your picture in the paper and you'd get mentioned. And it was cool. That doesn't really exist much anymore. So it's nice to be able to kind of step into that breach.
Oh, it is. And I always look at sports as another educational component. You learn, you know, classroom learning is one thing throughout school day, both high school, college, all that. But then you learn in these extracurricular activities as well. And that those kind of skills you learn as teamwork and all that propel you forward into the work world that you're going to enter soon.
Yeah. You know, I know quite a few of the kids that I went to high school with, but the ones I know the best are the ones that I was teammates with. So.
Absolutely. Still good friends with all of my former teammates, no doubt.
So just to reiterate one more time, coming up at 12 o'clock today here on Up North Sports Radio 101.1 across your dial, both in the Grayling Cadillac area and the Traverse City Kalkaska area, the Red Wings will take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. And then later on in the afternoon at 4:30, Menominee will take on Schoolcraft in the Division III state championship. And then Grand Rapids, Catholic Central, and Williamston will close everything out in Division II at 6:45. So if you can't get enough, there we are right here on 101.1. And thanks to the Bill Marsh Automotive Group for sponsoring the show.
No question. We couldn't have done it without them, so we really appreciate them taking a hold and sponsoring the show.
All right. We will be back with you sometime in August.